Fred Film Radio, Berlin International Film Festival, Germany.
Fred Film Radio, this is Chiara Nicoletti from the 69th edition of Berlin International Film Festival. I'm again in company of Charlotte Rampling, who's here to receive the Honorary Golden Bear. So how did you become fearless?
Why do you think I am? You have to always think about consequences, because I don't want to screw people's lives up, or mine, so you've got to actually understand what the results could be of your actions, but not necessarily in that sense control them. Well, you could, there's a say you have to, yeah, you have to be, it's a game of playing on the edge, but it's a way of life that I like, and I think it's the only way I can really do things, if I do them like that, because if I think too much with my mental, oh no, I'm not going to do that. But if I go for it, I know that my mind, my instinct will push me, and my mind will work it out okay. I trust that. You have to trust that you will be able not to be okay just for yourself, but for the situation too. Because it's not about just doing something for yourself. Filming and doing all the things that I do is about doing things with people, for people, and right. I'm a group person. I don't just want to work alone, because you can't in films. You need other people. You need a partner. You need a director. You need lighting. We need to be together. So I have to consider other people all the time too.
Through your career, what's a character that you learned from the most?
I don't know. It's bits and pieces as I went along. I can't. I've been asked that question before, and I don't have an answer for it, because it's like bits and pieces of all my characters are me. They're all part of me, and I've learned through them. I've worked on them because that's who I am, and that's the way I've worked on them, and they become the characters because that's who I am, as well as, you know, getting sort of ideas from up there about, you know, I don't know what, because that's, I suppose, in terms of invention, that's what we do, because we don't know. That's what creation is, in a way.
Rather a big word, but, you know.
So it's a mixture. It's a really mixture. Yeah.
What is cinema for you?
It'll be sort of. I'll understand it as I go along. You know, I'll understand what I understand about what I'm doing when I suddenly realize, oh, that's what I'm going to be doing, because it's not a plan. It's never been a plan. My idea in films is about. It's about living my life with films as my life source. That's my work. That's my survival. Films, so I can't really have a plan and work it out, or I don't choose to, because to have a plan again is rather from your question. I don't then take the risk, because it has to be a risk. There has to be a risk element, but the risk element is something which I've unconsciously probably been thinking about, but not really knowing. And then suddenly, it's like you get a calling, you get a script. Oh yeah, well that's what I'm going to do. So you don't quite know how it's worked out, but it's. It has to. There has to be a correlation of my work intimately with my life since always. Since I was 20, let's say. I know when that happened. That it had to be about living and not about acting. It had to be about actually the essence of my sense of living had to go into films. I didn't want to be acting. I wanted to be living in films.
Do you mind if a film goes only on a platform, for example?
Not at all, no. But as long as the integral quality is there, and as long as what the story also is about is very important for me, I won't just do any old story, and I won't put myself in any old film. It has to resonate on with the areas that I choose to choose. Yeah.
How happy are you that the Night Porter is screening again? What do you think?
Well, I think it. I mean, a subject like the would be in the '60s, all right. The '60s was, you know, opening up a lot of doors and a lot of barriers and a lot of on all levels. Life was changing in a big way. Didn't necessarily change for a long time, but it was a big opening, wasn't it, at that time in the '60s? And things were being done that as they had never been before, and things were being talked about in the open as they had never been talked before. And one of them was Night Porter, and it was not only talked about. But it was sort of put into filmic, rather sort of, you know, sort of doubtful in terms of taste, and it wasn't being treated really. It was being made into a kind of almost,
campy.
Yeah, sort of. So it was not being, you know, absolutely serious about this. You know, obviously the dreadful tragedy of the Holocaust, which it was. But it was sort of making it, you know, a bit sort of sexy and. So it's obviously not, it couldn't be accepted, but I think it, what happened with The Night Porter is that it made an incredible impact. It still does. And so that means that the film actually is saying what it should be saying in a way that got into people's hearts and bodies, even if they just thought this is impossible and rejected it and didn't want it to be. It means that it got in there.
In Italy, I'm Italian, we talked a lot about Portiere di Notte. What's your best memory about that shooting, the film, besides, you know, all the impact that he had and all the things that people said about that film?
Well, my story in this film is my relationship with Dirk Bogarde, who I met when I was doing The Damned, and that's when he saw the girl for this film, because he'd had the screenplay 4 years before, and so he said to Cavani, "I found the girl," which was me. And because of my relationship with Dirk, I did it, because I when I read it, I thought, "Oh my God, I just had a baby, 3 months old." I thought, "Oh my God," but I knew I had to do it. I knew I had that. This is again, you know, with the sort of, you say, I just had to do it, you know. But with Dirk, I knew that I would be safe, and I was. When we took it, and we took it to other, I think you've probably heard on in the talk, we took it to another level. We took it to a level of being a love story, rather than And for that, so I fought for that, and I fought for. So I'm a great supporter of causes. Not necessarily, you won't see me on lists and things, but I am a great supporter of different causes. So when I go for something, I really go for it. And with Dirk, I said, "Yeah, we're going to do this, and we'll make it into a love story."
You now have 3 films in post-production, and I have to admit, I'm very curious about Dune, directed by Denis Villeneuve. What did excite you to do this particular role?
Well, the role, because these women are extraordinary in Dune. Yeah. And I wanted to do the first Dune with Jodorowsky, and my husband was going to do the music, but Jodorowsky never was able to do it, the Mexican director. He had an extraordinary project, and the book was a cult book in the 60s, the Frank Herbert book. So I know all about Dune. I wanted to play Jessica. So the fact that when Denis Villeneuve said, you know, you play the Reverend Mother, I thought, this is beautiful, because, I mean, you actually can still be in the same arc of the story with this extraordinary tribe of women, but you're the Reverend Mother. And I said, well, I just happen to have done a Reverend Mother. It doesn't matter. This is a, you know, we're in another world here.
How did the parts you were being offered change during the years, except for the aged Empress, of course?
Being different ages. Yeah. Not, they haven't really. Because it's the essence of the woman that I am, even when I was a young woman, is the same as the woman that I am now. So it's about a spirit more than anything else. You know, the face is going to be filmed differently because you look differently, but it's about the spirit of the human that actually comes through, and that I think has come through since I began films, really. That's what made me come quite quickly into public eye.
How would you define that essence of yours?
I don't know. I mean, maybe it's because I'm supposedly fearless. I don't think I am, but I'm so frightened that I probably become fearless. Which is what fear is about. You mean, if you don't dominate it, you'll just actually be killed by your own fear.
Yeah, you can sort of
rise. You ride the tiger. Yeah.
Do you think you change the way you choose your roles? Your career, or it's always the same?
No, you choose people, you choose stories, you choose feeling, you choose. You just suddenly something arrives and completely unexpected, because that is with an actor. I don't go out and search for work. Work comes through with my agent Jean, or she'll just send me a screenplay, and okay, she'll say nothing, and one will be suddenly it'll start to wake up thing. I say what. You know, or months go by and then there's nothing. But it's so you just don't know, and that's very exciting too.
What kind of projects do you instantly say no to?
Bad writing, uninteresting stories, a director who has not inspired, has no vision, has no, but could be sort of commercial.
Yeah.
There's a lot of commercial stuff I say no to, because I don't need commercial stuff. That's not what I'm doing.
How many times you feel compelled to interfere with the script, even though you liked it?
Well, it's very, very rare, absolutely perfect scripts. I've had one or two just beauties that you haven't touched at all. And the other ones, which was Max, My Love, 45 Years. I just went, oh my God, because it was you saw the film, you just knew it was just perfection. in that way. Then you had to have the director to make it, but yeah. but the it was there. So you can, if the director allows you, you have to, and the writer, and they say, look, I think, you know, it would not, because it's not about improving my role, it's improving how this character goes through the film. But quite often, you know, it's not that easy, they don't want to, this or that. So you can, you know, sometimes you don't. But it's possible.
What do you think about this new TV series, their quality? I mean, since you worked on TV at the beginning of your career and now?
The quality series are really excellent. Although I was thinking about last night, if you were all there yesterday, that girl talking about the videos and Netflix, and she was completely freaking out. She was borderline. She was really having trouble. Because I think some of the series probably are, I don't watch many series, just a few selected every now and then, and not very often, because they are, they have this huge form of addictive natures. They can become, you know, literally they have to sort of get a fix on them, and can't sort of be anywhere without having, you know, their thing on, even on their telephone, so that they can be watching another one, you know what I mean? But then everything can go into addiction, can't it? So, but the good ones are, it's fabulous, and it's wonderful. It's a wonderful way of watching stories, yeah.
Well, it's a different audience, you know, the one that watch regular TV series now and the art house cinema one. So did you have a change in the audience?
Yeah, after I did Dexter, I got a huge change in audience. You know, all these sort of, you know, these funky guys, funky young guys, you know, and they're sort of in their 15 to 25. And,
yeah, what did
and even when I was in America, yeah, I got one of the, I got one of the customs men saying, Dr. Vogel! So you say, I've arrived.
The funny thing would be that there's people actually that could recognize you from Dexter.
Yes.
Only
from Dexter.
From Dexter, you know, come on, seriously.
The upside of it is
that
because then if they want to, then they can see other things you do. You know, oh gosh, she's cool. You know, and it's then you so then you go down and they see me as a young woman in films that they would never have seen.
Actually, I was talking about you know, there's a series here based on the classic by Fritz Lang, Emma City Hunts for Murder, and I was talking to the actress of the series, and she said, "I'm not sure that people, you know, do you think that people will watch it?" And I said, "I think so because it's a series, so there's a different audience for that, so they're more open in a way to watch." And maybe they would even go to rewatch or watch for the first time the Fritz Lang original.
Yeah, and isn't that great? Because I mean, that is so great because it brings back those, you know, a whole era of cinema that they hadn't even touched on. Yeah. Yeah, it's fantastic. Great. There are a lot of films that aren't even going to be on screen in a cinema, aren't they? Mm-hmm. But that's the way it goes. We can't, you know, it's not going to. It's going to be, you know, you have the both. You can choose, I'm sure, always. There'll always be Roma in the film, in the cinema, and Roma on your Netflix, but, I mean, you might not necessarily. If you're not talking business, it's for us, you know, who are users, it's pretty good, I think.
And we'll be talking to Charlotte Rampling, this year's Berlin International Film Festival Honorary Golden Bear, and this is Chiara Nicoletti for Fred, the Festival Insider.
Fred Film Radio, 24/7 on fred.fm and smartphone apps.